Blog Talk Radio.
Co-founder and administrator for the SEEDS organization, SEEDS, the acronym standing for Spiritual Enhancement Exchange and Development System. I am pleased once again to be before you on this Monday evening. I hope that I'm finding everyone well in mind, body, and spirit. I hope your day was productive and creative and peaceful. I myself had a pretty good day. More talking than anything, and which I'm going to be doing more of for about an hour and 15 minutes. I think I'm going to give you about 75 minutes of what's on my mind before I let you guys sink into seclusion for the remainder of your day. I want to thank those of you who tuned in last week to the program, this part two of Protecting Black Excellence, when I had my guest, Satrina Davis. From what I understand, people thought that it was a very good broadcast, very informative. At least that's the feedback that I got. And so I thank those of you who supported it, those of you who listened, and those of you who enjoyed it. Now, fast forwarding to the present. Today, I'm going to talk about the last of a dying breed. Would the real ones please stand up? Before I go into it, I'm going to tell you how I arrived at that topic. Not too long after last week's broadcast, there was a situation that I became privy to, and it had to do with, I'm going to keep it very simple here. It had to do with one party not being forthright with another party, when all it took was just to be straight up. And it made me think along the lines of where we are as a people and how we deal with one another. As I've said before, I don't come before you, whether it's radio, whether I'm speaking publicly with a microphone in my hand or otherwise, I don't come before you to tell you about what's going on in somebody else's world. I come before you to speak about the things that I see that are Achilles' heels to our forward movement, to our forward progress, our upward mobility. And those are the things that I like to turn over, those rocks that some of us step over and ignore and act like they aren't there. And one of the rocks that I'm talking about is integrity. And so after hearing the story about how it went down, I don't want to go into detail. That's not necessary. What is necessary for you to know is that one person did not deal from an integral place with another person. And it made me think about a dying breed. It made me look back during the times when I was a young cat and, you had the old heads, the cool dudes in the neighborhood, they were solid and they were solid with one another. When they gave you their word, you can bank on it that they were going to come through with what they said or do what they said they were going to do. And so I sat back and I thought about it. I said, you know what? This is what I'm going to talk about next week. And I'm going to call it the last of a dying breed. The last of a dying breed are those who stand strong in their character, those who stand strong and they take pride in their dignity. They take pride in their moral health. They take pride in who they are based on how they deal with people and how people see them in return. They take pride in that. It's not about building a reputation off of anyone. It's about doing what's right and treating people in a righteous manner. The last of a dying breed are those who would not sell themselves out for any reason or no dollar amount. The last of a dying breed are those who won't sell you out either. The last of a dying breed are those who can look in the mirror and whose conscience will be clear, and they'll be able to smile at that cat looking back at them. And so I said, well, this is what I'm going to talk about. Because we are now dealing with, we have so many spiritual messages. There's nothing wrong with that. We have so many messages that covering political issues, that are covering economic issues. We have so many messages that are covering social issues and all of those things. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong at all. But I don't hear anyone covering the issues that we fail to discuss because no one covers it, that gets all of the uncomfortable stuff out in the open where we can begin to dissect and put in place those things that are hidden hindrances to our forward movement as a unit. And I, for one, I pride myself on being straight up. I'm not trying to impress anyone except the man in the mirror. And I'm my worst critic. I'm my best critic too. And I know that not everybody is going to operate with the same heart reality that I do. That's not realistic. But it doesn't mean that I can't speak on it and maybe spark a thought in the mind of a listener. No, I don't always get it right, but I don't always get it wrong either. And when I get it wrong, it's not some shit that I got wrong 5 years ago or 10 years ago because I haven't grown, because there's been no development. Let me go on to say that moral exhortation precedes intellectual illumination. Moral exhortation precedes intellectual illumination. That means before you open your mouth to try to wow us with your intellect and your great diction, how healthy is your moral meter? How healthy is your integrity? Are you honest with yourself? because nothing that does not follow integrity, dignity, and morality will last. How are you treating your brother? How are you treating your sister? Are you speaking to your sister in one breath to her face and another breath behind her back? And the same goes for your brother. And let's look at those terms that I just used, brother and sister. Don't call me your brother, because I take those terms seriously. If you call me your brother, I'm going to be looking for you to act brotherly towards me, because I'm going to present myself as a brother to you. Don't call me fam or family if, when it's time to show and prove the familial side of you, you come up short. Because when you call me that, I'm looking for us to be like family. When you speak to me as your brother, I'm looking for you to be brotherly. I'm looking for that camaraderie of brotherhood. I'm looking for it. Sister Samuel's perspective. And so I'm sharing with you my character and my makeup, how I feel and how I view people, how my experiences have caused me to view people differently, how I have gotten it wrong so many times that caused me to be convicted because of the wrong decisions I made. And so when I look at my brother, I see him as that. When I look at my sister, I see her as that. And when I consider you family, I treat you as such. And I will lay down my life. And those who know me know what I'm saying. They know I will lay down my life for you. I'll stand flat-footed without batting an eye and tell you the truth and tell you where you're getting it wrong, too. But I would hope you would do the same for me. Love me enough to tell me if I'm getting it wrong. Care about me enough to tell me if I'm getting it wrong. The last of a dying breed would do that. Would the real ones please stand up? Brother, sister, family? Or am I only brother because it sounds good? And it's become so cliche with the terms that we toss around that it has lost its luster and its potency. So now, like the term love, we toss it around, but we don't really mean it. Some of us don't really mean it. I don't want to speak in absolutes. The last of the dying breed know who they are, because they've always been stand-up individuals, which, by the way, brings me to an illustration or an example I like to use from the movie Carlito's Way. It was the scene where Carlito has now taken over the club run by Ron, used to be Sasso. And one of his buddies from the past, Lalene, has shown up. Lalene was a straight up guy. He shows up to talk to Carlito, but only now he shows up in a wheelchair because he has taken a few in the back. And those of you who have seen the movie, you know the scene. But Lalene doesn't show up because he's still the same stand-up guy. He shows up because he has an agenda. And Carlito, being streetwise, ask simple questions and certain questions to try to ascertain the reasons why Lalene is here and he's supposed to be doing 30 years in the joint. Carlito sees through the charade, finds out that he's wired. Instead of taking his life, he lets him go. Yes, he's disappointed. He's shocked. He's disturbed, somewhat confused, he's angry, and when that scene was over, you could see in the very next scene, Carlito standing in his lawyer's office, looking out of the window, and he said to himself in a slight whisper, "There's no one left. There's no one left." And what he meant was, there's no more stand-up guys. And at that point, Carlito realized that he was the last of a dying breed. There were no more real ones for Carlito to depend upon. He was by himself. How many times have we found ourselves in a situation with someone who we used to know, who kept it real, and they show up again in our lives looking the same, sounding the same, but are not the same? Oh, yeah, you're still, you are your same stand-up self. You're still a loyal individual, and betrayal has no room in your bloodline. But this person who has showed up again is not the same. And as I was listening to the situation that was being broken down to me last week, I said it is not the same. It made me feel some kind of way, because how can you look someone in the eye, smile, shake their hand, break bread with them, laugh, share some of your life experiences, and become transparent the way that this situation was? And I have been in this situation as well, so I'm not just talking about other people. I'm sharing my experiences too. How can you, in their face, be a brother and everything that a brother entails? How can you, in their faces, be a sister and everything that being a sister entails? How can you call him, her, or them family in their faces and behind their backs pour cyanide on the very words you use to describe the relationship between you? What happened? What happened that we've fallen away from who and what we used to be? What happened to being stand-up individuals and speaking to that brother or that sister, regardless of whether or not it has to be confrontational? What happened to burying the hatchet and reconciling our differences and being men to each other's faces and being women to each other's faces? What happened to us that I have to turn my tongue into a razor blade and cut the back of your neck behind your back to carve out your spine with my words? What happened to being able to stand on your own and be that stand-up guy and that stand-up woman, and your reputation preceded you? And when people spoke your name, they knew that John was a stand-up guy. They had nothing other to say about Sarah, because Sarah was a stand-up woman. Down to earth. You know the terms we used. I can remember some of the cats. I can recall back in the day when I was a little guy running around. Larry Banks, old school. Daryl Hughes, old school, stand-up guys. The word was their bond. I saw men acting like men and treating each other like comrades and brothers. And when one needed the other, there was no questions asked. They were there. I can say that during that time, they were the last of the dying breed. I can say that. But today, it's all about a clique. Today is about who I'm associated with. Today, it's about being validated because of my association. Today is about faking it until you make it. Now, someone explain that one to me. Why would anyone want to be fake in route and achieving their endeavors? Why would you want to be fake? Yeah, I know someone may say, oh, it's just the cliche, Greg. It's just a saying. What kind of bullshit saying is that? Fake it until you make it. So does that mean that I send out a representative that looks like me, but is not really me and doesn't really have the genuineness and the authenticity, the pureness? I'm going to send this person out who's nothing but a mask or a shell of who I am and let that person do my bidding? That's what we do. That's what we do. And we call ourselves adults, but you ain't adult enough to bring your issue to the person you call brother or sister, the person you consider family. You got my phone number? Then that means you know me well enough to pick up the phone and call me if you have an issue with me or with your brother, with your sister, with your family. And if you can't do that, get those words out of your lexicon because you're perpetrating a fraud. Don't ever refer to me as your family, as your brother. And in the same breath and in the same day, betray me. People, we have to establish and protect our personal integrity and our professional integrity. We have to inoculate ourselves to keep from becoming like the colonizer and or anything that compromises our moral and integral compass. We literally must change our brain chemistry to come out of what we don't want to be. And if you don't recognize that this is you, talk to a brother who is a brother, and he'll tell you. And when he does tell you, don't get mad. Thanking for caring enough about you to helping you get back on the right track. Some of us are walking around pacifying our trauma, embracing our trauma, and we don't want to get well. That same trauma, unbeknownst to some of us, ushers us into a mental ice age. And your thoughts become frozen. And if your thoughts are frozen, then you can't speak the language of integrity. You can't speak with an intellectual illumination. You won't be able to treat your brother like a brother because you're frozen and your conscience is seared. And you don't see me like you should see me. We must go from being liquid to solid. Some of us are operating in straight liquidity. Liquid, no substance. Liquid, no solid. Some of us must make the transition from boyhood to manhood, from girlhood, if I can say that way, to womanhood. I just mentioned cliques. I want to talk about that a little further because it's necessary. Those who will support those in their cliques, which you call as family. You'll support the person in your clique, the person who looks like you, dresses like you, thinks like you, speaks like you, walks like you, does everything that you do and how you do it. Mm-hmm. And you'll support each other even in your wrong. But you have people standing on the outskirts of your bullshit, watching everything that takes place, who are trying to get in and who can bring some substance to your otherwise dull existence, but you won't let them in because you are clicked up with sameness. You're clicked up with a monotonous situation. And some of us are intimidated by anyone who brings something different and or unique to the table. And so, no, we won't let him come and play in. It's like Rudolph. You can't play in any reindeer games because he was different. How dare you be able to fly? How dare you have a nose? How dare you look different from me? You're not part of our clique. and we won't support you. And it's because of the absence of the last of a dying breed that we are here. See, the last of a dying breed doesn't have a problem saying, what is it that I must do to help us take the next step or the next 5 steps, the next 10 steps? Because it's all about getting together because we're brothers. It's all about getting together because we are family. And again, if I call you, I know you will be there. If you call me, rest assured, brother, I'll be there for whatever that looks like, whatever you need me for. The last of a dying breed won't say anything derogatory about me behind my back. Because he's trying or she's trying to impress somebody. The last of a dying breed won't be caught dead in a clique. Who in the hell needs to be validated by a bunch of motherfuckers who don't know who they are? Which takes me to the next point I'm going to make. Many of us are nothing more than social robots. You do and say what society says you should do and say. And you'll sell out if the check is big enough. You'll sell out if the ass is big enough. You'll sell out if the penis is big enough. You'll sell out if I can get next to these people over here because they look like the crowd to be with. Social robots don't think for themselves. Social robots don't have an identity. Social robots have abandoned their purpose. Social robots just go along to get along. This too speaks to trauma. Well, Craig, sound like you pissed off about something. No, I'm not pissed off about anything. I'm not upset. This is how I speak. And while other speakers are discussing other things, and I'm sure they're necessary, I am going to discuss the things that keep us divided. I am going to pull the curtain back to expose the falsehoods of the person who's pulling the levers, the puppet master. And I'm not exempt. I'm not exempt from what I'm saying to you. But those who know me and those who are in my immediate circle know that what I'm saying applies to me in the terms of the last of the dying breed. I'm real. And those who haven't even had a conversation with me can't say anything. Same goes for any of you who are listening. Would the real ones please stand up? Because what can't happen is you can't have a revolution with people who have split loyalties. Make up your mind who you're going to represent. And before you make up your mind about the representation, do you know who you are? Do you know what you stand for? Do you know your do's and don'ts? Do you know yourself, every facet, every flaw, every strength, and every weakness? Do you know your tolerances and your intolerances? What is it do you stand for? Don't tell me about Akhenaten and any of the ancient African history, and you don't know the history of your city. You don't know the history of yourself. You can't give me the history of yourself from last month, but you want to talk to me about 25,000 years ago. You want to talk to me about spirituality you don't fully understand. Starts with you. Yeah. Too many of us are addicted to our trauma, so much so that we become traumaholics, addicted to the substance that abused us, i.e. Stockholm Syndrome. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry for anything I'm saying. I'm sorry because I shouldn't have to say anything along these lines to grown folks. It has become appallingly clear that we have been politically corrected into a state of social invisibility. Oh, yeah. Invisible. Gladys Knight sang it best when she sang it, to be invisible. Do you see me as your brother? And if so, do you love me? And if you love me, what does that look like? Do you see that woman over there as your sister? And if so, do you love her? And if you do, what does that look like? When you call someone your family, do you know the concept? Do you know the depth of the concept of the term? See, I don't speak to please. I speak to inform. I speak to pull back the curtains. We're going to kick over rocks. And we're going to knock the hell out of anything that can be a detriment to us coming together to form the sticky cohesiveness, which is truth and honor for one another. Don't talk to me about anything less. Don't talk to me about forging ahead and we need to unite. How in the hell are you going to unite and you can't even unite with yourself? I'm not talking to anybody and I'm talking to everybody. I don't know. Maybe you know somebody like what I'm saying. Maybe you know of a situation like what I'm saying to you. See, what I see is that people aren't hungry for knowledge. They're hungry for nonsense. Because if you're hungry for knowledge, then why are you so afraid to eat it? Why are you afraid to sit down at my table, at your brother's table, at your sister's table? Why are you afraid to allow constructive criticism to run its course, to make you better, to develop, for personal development? None of us have arrived. Most of us only want to be entertained. And because we have a mindset of make me laugh, entertain me, we shun wisdom when it shows up. We shun knowledge when it shows up. And we shun critical thinking because that takes too much effort. Might get a headache for thinking beyond what I see. Oh, who am I? Some people call me Dr. Samuels. Some people call me Brother Craig. But to most people, I ain't nobody. I'm just a man in Flint, Michigan, a city with bad water, who has something to say that's not very popular. Because I'm the last, one of the last of a dying breed, and I refuse not to stand flat-footed, not to bat an eye. That means I will not bat an eye when I'm speaking the truth, my truth and the truth that surrounds us, because it's time out for the dumb stuff. It's been time out for the dumb stuff and how we deal with one another, how we treat one another. I spoke to a pastor on Saturday, and I asked him very politely, and I told him, I don't mean to offend you. I'm still talking about the last of a dying breed. But what are you doing with this building? I mean, can you not find anything else to do aside from Sundays and Wednesday? Can you not find anything else to do with the skill that you have, that you can open up classes and let the people come in and learn how to do for themselves? Like those of old, the last of a dying breed, the Black Panthers, the last of a dying breed, Marcus Garvey, the last of a dying breed, Medgar Evers, the last of a dying breed, Fred Hampton, the last of a dying breed, Mark Clark, the last of a dying breed, Dr. King, Malcolm X, the last of a dying breed, Diane Nash, and so many more of the great ones. Are they the last of a dying breed? You mean to tell me we can't produce any more like them? When we get through talking, what are we prepared to do? When we get through wowing each other with our great intellect and our smooth diction, what are we prepared to do? With the real ones, please stand up. We're talking about the last of a dying breed. The last of a dying breed of what? The last of a dying breed of stand-up individuals who gave a damn about more than their reflection in the mirror. About more than impressing people with their material goods, about more than impressing people with their knowledge, about more than trying to be the one in the room who stands out the most, the one who garners the most attention. Let's be honest. Black lives don't matter. We've gone from being concerned to being consumed. And black lives won't matter until it starts to matter to black people. Well, Craig, how can you say that? The way I just said it. Shit. I said it the way I just said it. Because that's what I see. Now, does that apply across the board? No. But a chain can't be used for its original purpose if there's a broken link. Have you ever tried to pull a truck with a chain with a broken link? It can no longer be used for its original purpose until you do something with the broken link. Until you do something about the broken link. We have also abandoned the triune balance, or if I call it the triunal, if I can say that way, but it's the triune balance, mind, body, and spirit. And if we're so spiritual, which again starts with you, then how can you mistreat your brother or your sister or your family who are also spirit? How can you backbite? How can you be anything less than integral toward the people you say you love, the people you say you like, the people you call brother, sister, family? One day we'll get it together. And I hope it's in my time. because I like to see what the true African village looks like with people upholding each other. Black people, beautiful brothers and beautiful sisters and beautiful children. Sure, we're going to have our problems. Family has problems. We have problems. But there's a way to solve them. If I have a problem with Reggie, running down the street to tell Troy about it is not going to solve my problem. I'm going to have to deal with Reggie. Why? Why do you say that? Well, for those who may not understand what I'm talking about, a moral man is righteously indignant when he sees immorality, indecency, and unrighteous behavior. Now, am I the moral police? Absolutely not. But I've come through so much and dealt with so much, and it has shaped me into the man I am in today, that I am today. And if I call you my brother, that's what you are. If I call you my sister, that's what you are. You don't have to worry about me trying to get between your legs when ain't nobody looking. Relationship mean more to me than panties. If I call you my family, that's what you are. And if you call me, I'll be there, possible. I'll do what I can to help my family, to help my brother, and to be a brother to my sister. We must be mindful of those who solve their problems at the expense of other people. That is not a dying breed. That is a breed that is being perpetuated in and throughout society. Faking it until you make it types. The get over mentality types. Yeah, I said again, the get over mentality types, those who have the get over mentality. Brother told me last week, and I don't want to mention the name, I'm sure I could, but I told him there's so much that I have to talk about, but I don't want to, and not that I'm worried about it, but I know I'm on someone else's platform, and I don't want to turn up the heat too much because some of us are too sensitive. He said, brother, we stand for truth here. Let it rip. In the back of my mind, I said, okay. We have to get to a place where we stop letting people violate our prostates, meaning the banana in the tailpipe. And I know that doesn't apply to the women. You don't have prostates, but the same applies to you. Where did that come from? Why did I say that? Well, it's because we screw each other when we fail to be straight up with one another. Family. Blood is thicker than water. That's what they say. Blood is thicker than water, so family says. You know what I say? Yeah, blood is thicker than water, but betrayal waters down the blood. Betrayal waters down the blood. So now you have a problem. Now we have a problem. I am looking at something, which is this message, with my heart on display. But before I go any further about my heart being on display, And this message I call The Last of a Dying Breed. I'm going to step back for a minute and take a brief break. Give me about 3 minutes. I'm going to take a brief intermission. And I will be back with you to conclude tonight's broadcast.
Remember this, I was conceived on February 10th. Complications detected in my early months of forming. Around my sonogram, you can see that evil was forming. Perhaps it wasn't what the world was thinking in the child. The doctors warned me out. My mama's in denial. Then I kicked her and gently rubbed my hands across her stomach. Told her to keep them off me, mama. I'm coming, I'm coming.
Because it's energy. You know what lightning is, right? Lightning is the sound thunder makes, and anything it hits, it destroys. Well, we're going to talk about power and being spiritual and being family and being brothers and being sisters. Then we need to understand what true power is. And true power is making sure that you and your progeny have your position solidified for the next 1,000 years. Power should be generational. Not just for you right now in this life. It should be generational. The power that you take for yourself, it should be there for the next generation, so that there is no last of a dying breed. How many Rockefellers are still among us? How many Carnegies are still among us? How many of J.P. Morgan's kindred are still among us? How many? Can we say that those people are, that John D. Rockefeller was the last of a dying breed? No, because he didn't let the breed die. went on to create laws that govern our asses. So, what are we really doing? What are we really doing? I see what we're doing. We have some of us who know, some of us who are growing in what they know, and you have some of us who are stagnant in the shallow end of their own triflingness. Some of us are complacent in the shallow end. 3 feet is deep enough. And have an issue with those who want more, who want to know more, who want to learn more. So they say, damn, look at all the fun they're having down in the 15-foot deep end. And look how much the fun they're having. How are they treading that water? I want to know. So then you take the next step to learning how to tread water so that you can benefit from the opportunities the deep end offers you. But the people sitting in the shallow end are upset because they don't have the courage to move. But they called you brother, they called you sister, and they called you family. Now they're calling you everything but a child of the Most High. Because how dare you move and leave them? How dare you try to do something that makes a difference for yourself first and then those you come into contact with? What the hell is wrong with you? Are you sick? Who you think you are? And them same individuals, as soon as they get a chance, will sell you out. Well, bootlicking is a career path that doesn't have a retirement plan. Sellout is a career path that doesn't leave you with a pension. Bedwinch and Sambo. You won't get a monthly check from those career paths, from those choices. We toss around this term love, and I said I was going to talk about that, and I am. We toss around this term love, and I'm talking about just around where I am. I hear it often. And the same individuals treat love like a dirty work boot. And it's not the saggy pants, nappy head, you know, it's just not them. It's the ones who are in corporate America. the ones who are hiding behind their $500 suits and driving their nice cars and shit. And then there's some of the ones who think because they have some experience with having traveled the world that they know more than you, who will sell you out. The ones who want to do all the talking and the ones who want to have a monologue and don't have the wherewithal to shut the hell up and listen for 5 minutes. The last of a dying breed. Is that you? Is that you? And if it is you, what are we going to do to prevent that from being the truth for the next generation? I'll tell you. Start teaching those who look up to you how to be upright. Start teaching them to allow their moral exhortation to go before the intellectual illumination. Start teaching them that anything that doesn't follow integrity, dignity, and morality will not last. Teach them the way. That's not teaching them to be soft and weak and to fall for the okie doke. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is to be strong in their own convictions. And the only way they can do that is through you. What are you showing them? And not just the children, but each other. I'm growing from those who I come in contact with. Conversation that I had earlier today with a person that I love, with a person that I like, with a person that I respect. And you couldn't pay me to backdoor her. Yeah, it's a sister. Couldn't pay me. I love her. She loves me too. Do we fall out? Not like that, but we do have our disagreements. But before it's all said and done, we're laughing again. She, too, is the last of a dying breed. So I'm asking you, and this is not a tongue lashing, I'm trying to light a fire under your ass. If we're going to forge ahead together, come on, how are we going to treat each other? Look at what we're doing. Talk to me. And if I'm part of the family, if she is part of the family, if he is part of the family, then you support everybody, not just the little mother, the individuals. I'm trying not to cuss so much, y'all. Not just the individuals over here in the clique. What kind of shit is that? What's really going on? I'm not the one. And you shouldn't be either. You shouldn't be either. There's so much for us to do and learn about one another and from one another. There's so much that needs to be done because if you haven't noticed, there is a war going on. And political whores and sellouts are leading the way. While some of us are stagnant and stuck, looking up in the sky, waiting on them. I was getting ready to do it again. Waiting on somebody to save them out of this situation. It's never going to happen. Where are our think tanks? Where is our money class? Where are the activists who are activated? Well, they're out there. The activists, I know, are out there. But we've got to be careful of those, too, because if the bag is big enough, they will become a political whore as well. We have to lead by example and not by pontification. Sometimes I think I let my heart speak to me too much. I don't know if that's a bad thing or not, but I have developed a relationship with my heart. and I've surrendered myself to myself and allowed myself access to my subconscious. I'll say it again. I have developed a relationship with my heart, and I surrendered myself to myself and gave myself access to my subconscious. You can do the same. What does that mean? I can't knowingly do you wrong and not feel something for it, not be convicted. Conscious is ever aware. I won't be able to lay my head down at night on my pillow knowing that I was not very brotherly to my brother, that I was not very family-like to my family, and that I mistreated a sister who I call my sister. It won't allow me to do that. It won't allow me to do that. So we're going to have to start engaging in mental multitasking. We're going to have to start engaging in mental multitasking, starting with yourself. You can do it. Let me tell you how. Because you can form one thought about one thing and form another thought at the same goddamn time about something else and be talking out both sides of your mouth about some bullshit. So if you can do it for that, you can do it for something significant. Situation last week brought this to the forefront of my mind, of my heart. And I said, just hours after the broadcast that I did with Satrina, it was the next morning. And I said, this is what I'm going to talk about. Because, goddamn, I don't get it. I mean, have we become so socially robotic that we no longer feel, we no longer have a conscience, we no longer have any type of morality, no type of personal, no integrity, no dignity or anything? We just do each other any kind of way? And just yesterday, I was your boy. She was your homegirl. They were your family. See how quickly people turn, and they only turn because they weren't real with you to begin with, and they can only do that because they aren't real with themselves. They're chameleons, social chameleons. And what we better start doing is having social intercourse. And I'm not talking about the bumping and grind kind. I'm talking about a conversation that leaves us with ejaculation, that leads to a birthing and becoming illuminated. Illumination in our morality, illumination in our intellectual factors, illumination in our dignity, illuminated in our spirituality. And before that can happen, till we get to the point where we can talk about love and use that, and when it comes out of our mouth, it has potency. Before we can do that, it has to start with ourselves. Has to start with you, sister, brother, family. We toss these terms around so nonchalantly that it doesn't mean anything anymore. Doesn't mean anything. Many of us have traded one pimp for another. The pimp of being accepted. It's a mindset. The pimp that pimps you out of your confidence, the pimp that pimps you out of your esteem, the pimp that pimps you out of your identity, the pimp that pimps you out of your purpose, away from your purpose, the pimp that says you don't need to do this, you need to do that, join up with them, and then you become pimped by another pimp, in the form of a group. I just called them a clique. So you're being socially pimped by other social robots. There is no solid, there's only liquid. The last of a dying breed. With the real ones, please stand up. I heard it said that no man is an island to himself. It's true. I want to be able to use my brother as a vehicle to get to where I'm going. And guess what? When I get to where I'm going, since he is the vehicle, he'll be there too. And along the way, we will be trading places. I can help him and he can help me. Same goes for my sister. And if we can do it one for another, we can do it as a family. There's strength in numbers. And we can stand strong. We can be so united and so regimented if we get our heads together, get our heads in the game, and find a common ground. Do you understand what we can do? Do you understand the power that we can generate as brothers and sisters, as a family? Look, there's an old Assyrian axiom that says quiet. It goes quiet and likewise many. What that means is we are 1,000 strong, but we only make the noise of one. Think about what I just said. We are 1,000 strong, and when we move, and we move in unison, and we move like a brotherhood, like a family, we only make the noise of one. That's like me telling you I'll be over your house in 15 minutes, and when you come and open the door, you don't only see me, you see me and 500 of my soldiers. It only sounded like me approaching the door. It didn't sound like an army, but that's what you opened up the door to. Quiet, and likewise many. We don't have to be the last of a dying breed. We can produce others like us. But if we produce others like us, what would the character be like? What would the personality be like? What would the moral compass look like? In what direction would they go? Would they have scruples or would they be unscrupulous? Would they have integrity or they lack integrity? What will that look like? That's up to us, and that's a question that only we can answer. And I use that word "we." It's a powerful word too. Okay. It's a powerful word as well. We. I think it's a beautiful word. We. I once knew a brother who was in prison, and he was in solitary confinement. Solitary by himself. There was no we. Now the so-called wannabe deep people will say, well, he wasn't by himself. He really had his... Shut the fuck up with that dumb shit. He was by his goddamn self. And the only thing he had was his mind. And if he wasn't strong in who he was going to lose it because he was in solitary confinement. You take a human being out of population and you put them by themselves where there's no one to talk to. If he isn't strong in his mental factor, in his mental faculties, he will lose he will slip off the edge of sanity. An example for you is the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks when he was stranded on that island. In order to keep from going crazy, he formed a relationship with a soccer ball and gave it a name. Craig, sound like you kind of got off the subject. I thought you were talking about the last of a dying breed. Now you're talking about white men and soccer balls on islands and shit. I'm still talking about the last of a dying breed. I'm still talking about the last of a dying breed. I'm passionate about relationships, people. And I'm passionate about being real with those that I care about. And I hope the feeling is mutual. I hope you keep tuning in and listening to me, because there's so much that I have compiled over the years. And I simply want to share my perspective. But I have the strange feeling that my perspective is the same perspective that many of you have in some places, in some cases. And if that's so, that's a great thing. That means we have something in common. And if we have commonality, then sure, we'll find something else that we are compatible in. You see what I'm saying? What that is becoming acquainted with one another as brothers and sisters, so we can be a family, and not just a family, but a healthy family, a family that truly cares for one another. Care enough to call you out on your bullshit if necessary, but we don't have to fight. We don't have to backbite. And if we can do that, and we can get people to get on the same page and start moving in that, and from that perspective, oh, my. And then start putting our money where our mouth is, start building a socioeconomic platform or foundation. Oh, come on. What won't we be able to do? Now, somebody asked me before, you hate God? Somebody asked me that. I read your book. I can see, because some of the things that you went through in your book, I can see why you wouldn't have any faith in God, and I had to stop them. See, that's some silly shit. How did my book bring us to a conversation about me hating God, which is something you assume? And you're trying to put your understanding in my head, and we are miles apart in that category. And I'm not being arrogant or cocky. We are miles apart in that category. Your interpretation and your understanding about who or what God is not mine. So you can't project that onto me. I won't allow you. Now, if you want to know, ask me what my understanding is, and then I will give you a fundamental answer and hope that's good enough. If not, then we can continue to talk. But one of the hallmarks of spirituality is enlightenment, clarity, and the ability to discern reality. Would the real ones please stand up? Because we have work to do, people. We have work to do. And I, for one, I got my work boots ready, and I'm ready to roll up my sleeves. And the work that I'm talking about is establishing a healthy family so that we can be the example of the things that we talk about. So that we won't have to be the last of a dying breed. And I won't have to ask the question or make the statement, would the real ones please stand up? Because we'll know who each other is. And we'll support each other in each other's endeavors. Not just some of us supporting some of us. Because, well, you know, it's us over here and it's them over there. That's the divide and conquer bullshit. You're feeding right into the colonizers' agenda to keep us separated. And that's why the fuck we can't get ahead. Because of the dumb shit like that. That's some dumb shit. Well, I heard something about Craig and I heard something about this person. Oh, I heard something about that. You ain't heard a motherfucking thing. Shut your troublemaking, discord sowing ass up. Shut the hell up. Sowers of discord. Since you know so goddamn much, where's your book? Where's your webinar? Where's your seminars? Can you help us get to the next step? I'm sorry. I'm looking at a message I got here, y'all. Bear with me. I don't like dead air. But someone just sent me a message here. I'm sorry. The next step. The next step is to establish ourselves as a powerhouse. And that starts with being open and honest with ourselves and each other. Because you can't hide behind spirituality with gaping wounds. You can't cover up your hemorrhaging with your spirituality. You can't use love as a band-aid to make it all better. Some people, whether they know it or not, use those things as coping mechanisms to keep with dealing with the issues they have. Love can be a coping mechanism. Cheek turner. Hide behind my perception of spirituality to keep from dealing with the reality that I don't want to deal with. Coping mechanism. Escapism. We should be tired of all the things that are being used against us as schisms to keep us split, to keep us ripping at each other's flesh, bumping into each other's feelings while we step over each other's hearts and minds, while we dismiss others and uphold others. That's that personality bias bullshit I'm going to talk about at a later date. Click. If we're going to be a click, let's be a family click. And it can't be sections of the family in the family. Kind of shit is that? I think I've said enough for this evening, but it was on my mind and I thought it necessary to share with you. Like I said earlier, don't open my mouth to appease anyone. I refuse to compromise who I am as it relates to my purpose, and part of my purpose is speaking an unpopular truth and kicking over those rocks and pulling out those topics that we, some of us, really want to skip over and just not really address. I know why I'm here. I know why I'm here. And I'm not just talking about at Enhancing Awareness Radio. I know why I'm here. I'm going to end on two notes. Brotherhood. Brotherhood as defined by Mr. Willie, who is a Harlem resident and an elder of one of the Babas, Baba Onaji. And when Onaji was telling me about Mr. Willie, when he asked him what brotherhood was, he said Mr. Willie looked at him and said, "Brotherhood is a wall of well-placed bricks." And this is coming from someone who was looked at as a drunk in the neighborhood. But he opened up his mouth and something as profound as that came out. Brotherhood is a wall of well-placed bricks. Look at this. So that means each brother is a brick and each brick has a purpose. Each brother is a brick and each brick has a purpose. And part of that purpose is for us to come together to form that wall. What kind of wall, Craig? A wall of brotherhood. Nothing can break down the wall of brotherhood except the brothers. I'm going to leave you, as I have on the last, in the previous two broadcasts, with a quote. For those of you who know me, know I read a lot. I'm going to leave you with this quote from one of my favorite writers, Lebanese writer, brilliant with a pen, 19th century poet, writer, Khalil Gibran. Khalil Gibran, as it relates to brotherhood, said, "My brothers, seek counsel one of another, for therein lies the way out of error and futile repentance. The wisdom of the many is your shield against tyranny. For when we turn to one another for counsel, we will reduce the number of our enemies.